Now, within the intricacies of planning for a successful M&A, an important factor is to ensure that the new entity does not breach competition rules. Meanwhile, there are several rules which need to be strictly adhered to during the M&A process. Therefore, a good time to speak with Philippe Emmanuel Pache, a European competition and financial law partner here at Arendt. Philippe Emmanuel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Now, seated on your left-hand side, we've also got corporate law partner Laurent Schumer. Laurent, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And seated on your left-hand side, we've got Mr. Marc Mouton. Marc, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, Philippe, let's get straight to business. What factors should a buyer be aware of prior to making the sale with the respect of non-competition?
The first thing is to organize the talks, the negotiations, because if one company wants to buy another one, it needs information on the target. But competitors may not exchange sensitive information, business secrecies, as a general rule. And in the framework of an acquisition, there is so the need of a so-called non-disclosure agreement, post one to which the parties will exchange just the required information for the completion of the operation. So the data required by the purchaser to have a good idea of the value of the target. And at the same time, they must pay attention not to involve too many people in the talks in order to keep as confidential as possible the information that will be exchanged.
Right, I see. So we're talking about the limiting the circle of people involved in the negotiations. We're talking about the planning stage before an M&A takes place. So what sort of analysis can undergo to reveal this?
So regarding the planning, there will be the question first of the audit, because the buyer must have a good idea as to the situation of the target regarding competition law and state aid law. Notably, he must be sure that the target has not infringed competition law, antitrust law in the past, and that it has not benefited from unlawful subsidies from the state. Otherwise, there is a risk that the buyer, once the acquisition done, will have to pay fines to a competition authority or to pay back the money to the state. So that's the reason why, generally, an audit is undertaken in order to give a good idea of the situation of the target to the buyer.
Now, we're seated here in the heart of Europe. What sort of role does the EU Commission have to play in this?
That's a good question. Regarding competition law, antitrust law, if the infringement of competition law relates only to the domestic Luxembourgish market, the questions will be more in the jurisdiction of the Luxembourgish competition authority. But as you have pointed out more than correctly, Luxembourg is at the center of the internal market. There are exchanges with other member states, and it's not that rare that infringement of competition law have a European dimension. And in such a case, the EU Commission can intervene.
Now, it's possible that the acquirer and the seller might be active in multiple countries. Is that a big factor in this?
That may be a big factor. Regarding the infringements of competition law and state aid law by the target, by the seller, it does not matter that the buyer has an international dimension. Now, there is another issue, the question of the merger control. Because if the merger, the acquisition, involves two large actors, there is the risk that the threshold for a notification for prior approbation prior approval by a competition authority are reached. And that's a very important point in the planning of the negotiations. First, you have to assess whether there is a risk of notification to a national competition authority, to the EU Commission, or to national competition authorities of third countries, notably in the case of an international acquirer. And we must make a multi-jurisdictional assessment in this respect to determine whether such a notification will have to be done. And if it is the case, you may take that into account in the planning, because such a notification, such a proceeding can take several months.
Laurent.
Yeah, that is what is very important in the Luxembourg process, because we do not have a national pre-merger control. This is still a factor to be analyzed, and as we have seen, it's to manage then the period between assigning and completion and all the tools we have seen in this respect. So that requires a planning beforehand.
Yes, and maybe to add also a point on what Philippe Emmanuel mentioned in the beginning on information exchange and how you manage this disclosure of nevertheless sensitive information between the parties. I think obviously because we are speaking about M&A in the financial sector, you also have very specific confidentiality duties like professional secrecy, banking secrecy. And so I would say there are restrictions on exchange of information, not only from a competition law perspective, but also from professional secrecy perspective. So it's very important when you organize this exchange of information, the data rooms, the due diligence, that you are careful about these duties.
Now, Philippe Emmanuel, I want to move now from the planning stage to more of the execution stage, because for many people, the negotiation aspect is the most important part of an M&A deal. From your experience, what important factors should be considered when managing that negotiation process?
Yes, the first question is to know who will do what, because it will be to the buyer to notify to the competition authority. But it is important that that every party may count on the contribution of the other. There is the question of the provision of some information, and to be sure that the situation is clear as to the deadline, to the deadlines to be met, the information to be provided, because notably there is the question of the thresholds of the respective parties, things like that. So the parties must cooperate in good faith and on time.
So timing's number one. What's number two?
Number two is the certainty that the parties disclose the proper, the good information, and that this information is reliable.
Right, so the information must be reliable that's supplied between the two parties. Any more key points that you'd like to raise about the negotiation process?
From my standpoint, no. That's the main things, apart the fact that the parties must pay very attention to the fact not to complete the operation between having got the green light from the competition authorities. Because if you behave, notably the purchaser, like the new boss of the company, before having the final green light, for example, of the European Commission, the risk is to be fined up to 10% of the worldwide turnover of the buyer.
Wow, that's pretty significant. Laurent, can I bring you in here?
Yeah, I think there's one point that one also needs to address, is what's called high water or hello high water type clauses, in the sense of, if I go for such a process, then the EU Commission may impose certain things, like I dispose of certain assets or I don't do certain things. And what is important, especially for the seller, is to know how far he wants to go in having to concede some of this, because there's a bona fide undertaking, a good faith undertaking, to try to comply with the condition precedent of the antitrust clearance. And if you get something like a condition imposed, do you want to accept it or not? And that is something very important parties need to think about beforehand.
Yes, and maybe from a regulatory perspective, of course, this is another yet a clearance, another prior sign-off, I would say, to obtain from an authority. Obviously, we have very often, since we are again in the financial sector, also an approval from the financial supervisory authority. We should not forget, of course, that there may be approvals needed also from the competition authority. And I think it's a bit, let's say, there are similarities in the sense that both parties must cooperate kind of to get the right information to the regulators to make sure that these approvals can be obtained as quickly as possible. And I think also in terms of structure in the SPA, in the agreement, I think it's important to have the right clause, especially to say that the transaction cannot be closed before these approvals have been obtained.
Yes, some months ago we faced such a situation where we had to notify both to the competition authority and to the financial supervisor.
Right, very important topic indeed. But what about following a transaction? Are there any additional issues to be considered from either the buyer or the seller in relation to this competition problem?
Yes. After the completion of the operation, there is the key question as to the possibility for the seller to keep on being active on the market concerned by the operation. And as a general rule, you may perfectly understand that the seller does not, the buyer does not want to see the seller still active on the same market. Otherwise, there is the risk that he has paid money for nothing. So in most of the transactions, there will be post-acquisition non-compete provisions burdening on the seller. And for a given number of years on the market in some countries, he won't be allowed anymore to carry out the same activity.
Right. Now, final question for you, Philippe Emmanuel, because I know during my time here in Luxembourg, several large firms have reorganized themselves. So not so much an M&A, but can a reorganization also cause non-competition issues?
Yes, because, and notably in the banking and financial sector, after 2008, a certain number of banks have benefited state aid. And one of the conditions imposed by the EU Commission was to refrain from some activities. For example, from acquiring some competitors because they were advantaged by some public subsidies. So those issues have to be taken into account during restructuration of company.
Laurent?
And that's where the negotiation of the non-competes, non-solicits are very important. Because at the time of the deal, a lot of sellers say, well, I sell the business, so I won't go into the activity. But then there is later on a reorganization or a merger or something, and suddenly these clauses come back to haunt you. And so it's very important to have these clauses done with a perspective. The business in which you are can change. There's value in these clauses, so be careful. And I think one shouldn't underestimate, because one sells an activity, to just say, well, I sell the activity, I will not do it again. Why would I sell it otherwise? That's a cheap argument, so to speak, to get your point through.
Excellent, indeed. Gentlemen, we've got time just for one closing remark when it comes to not breaching competition clauses. Philippe Emmanuel, what is your advice to companies who might be considering that point?
I think that today in Luxembourg, people must pay attention to the risk of referral by the Luxembourgish Competition Authority of even small operations of M&A, which are under the EU threshold, but which relate to technological sectors, pharmaceutical sectors, to targets which are very innovative and whose acquisition could reduce competition. Because in such a case, the National Competition Authority may refer the case to the EU Commission. And in addition, any interested company may denounce the project, the operation, if it has not been referred or notified to the Luxembourgish Competition Authority or to the EU Commission. That's a new point of attention.
Philippe Emmanuel, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much to Laurent Schumer, and thank you very much to Marc Mouton.